Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it!
Oh, yeah.
Was that 2-1?
I believe so.
Son of a gun. And it's Thursday. We're running out of time here.
What's this wee stuff?
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the segment of the show you have all been waiting for. It's 8 o'clock on a Thursday. So, we brave the rain and thunderstorms that I see developing on the horizon.
That's pretty mean looking. It is. Be careful out there.
Indicative of what I'm sure are some of the emotions floating around Columbia, South Carolina. However, even when the storm is dark, we can turn to our lighthouse, our beacon, to talk South Carolina Gamecock football here on the show. She covers that athletic department for the Greenville News. The lovely Lulu Kessin gives us so generously time every Thursday morning. Good morning, ma'am. Have the folks in Columbia, have you recovered from a disappointing weekend, Lulu Kessin?
Good morning. I have. I don't know if everyone else has. I think it'll be worse if it starts to rain on Saturday and there's another potential delay. So I'm hoping that the weather isn't bad and that kickoff goes to plan Saturday night.
As do I, although that would, should there be another delay, give South Carolina fans a little more time to drink in the parking lot, which I'm sure a few of them want to do right now, Lulu. So let's jump into what happened against Missouri. Aside from the fact that their running back did his best impression of an angry bulldozer on Saturday to the Carolina defense, just give me your overall takeaways from that loss. What stood out as that's not good?
Definitely the fact that South Carolina is very undisciplined and the mental toughness is not there. Right now, the focus, I think my biggest takeaway is that South Carolina is just failing to meet the moment kind of week after week in different ways. Virginia Tech, I didn't think that they met the moment after kind of setting the game standard. And then obviously SC State, they kind of struggled really early on. Vanderbilt overall, and then here you have a Missouri team that's honestly on paper better than you, or had been performing better than you, I should say. You have a chance to take the lead with 5 or 6 minutes left, and you don't take it. I just think that's kind of my theme of the season through four games so far, but it really stuck out. Just South Carolina, one, can't stop drawing pre-snap penalties and seemingly can't run the ball really right now.
So let's talk about that. And I do want to talk about these two aspects of the game because I could not agree with you more. In fact, my take on Monday was at least there was a little fight, because I think in the Vanderbilt game, and we talked about this last week, Lulu, like it felt to me like that team laid down and I never thought that they would lay down. But I also thought that it would be understood that if the South Carolina team is going to rise to any moment, whether it's the season-long expectations or game by game, it was going to have to be a team with a step back in talent, obviously, that was disciplined, that was smart, that did get to where they needed to be and do their job. And I agree, they've come up short there. What do we chalk that up to? Because if we don't have a better reason, unfortunately, then we kind of have to lay it on the feet of the coaches. And if we have to do that, we have to lay it at the feet of Shane Beamer.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how much or if you were able to see kind of what Shane – basically, I asked Shane – we're talking about leadership. And then I was following up with somebody else asked a really great question about leadership. I followed up to kind of say, obviously, Lenoris isn't going to be your vocal leader. he leads in his own way. Do you ever find yourself with any player kind of wishing that they talked more in a certain moment? And what kind of do you meet players halfway if you want them to be that voice on the field, but that isn't, you know, their natural leadership style? And it sort of just feels like South Carolina is lacking leadership around Lenoris right now, and that's what I chalk a lot of these mental mistakes and the failure to meet the moment to, because I think South Carolina just isn't having that on-field voice holding them accountable. And, hey, I mean, I've heard some names in terms of, like, okay, who do you listen to when, you know, things aren't really going that well, but I just have to say that it seems like from the outside there's a really obvious drop-off in whose voices are really loud on the field, and I think that's sort of the reason why maybe in these big moments things are sort of crumbling instead of thriving, whereas last year it felt like the opposite.
I agree with you, Lulu, and, you know, one of the things that is somebody who's been around football for a long time, I know you have as well, in order for somebody to become a leader, they have to perform on the football field, right? Like, nobody's going to look at in the huddle across at a wide receiver with a bunch of drops or a quarterback who's inaccurate or a linebacker who misses a bunch of tackles and go, that's our leader, that's our guy. It's on the successful players to step up. Has there been any conversation? Has this been a narrative delivered to the football team that, hey, the guys are performing, like, we need you to step up and be leaders? Or is this just kind of something going by the wayside? How much do we know about those conversations?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think that's why last year in particular, like, you had Kyle Kinnard, you had Demetrius Knight, you had your entire D-line, and they were all, like, they could back up whatever they were saying because they had either been starting for 3 years or came in and transferred and were incredible in the first four games. As Shane Beamer was kind of pointing out yesterday, and like he said on Sunday, he's never going to throw his coaches or his players under the bus. And I'm saying that because there's a lot of very frustrated South Carolina fans who are, like, calling us media soft and telling us that we're asking Shane softball questions. I'm not going to waste time by asking Shane if he's going to fire Mike Shula, because he's not going to answer that question, and it's only going to strain a relationship to ask decent questions that ultimately fans will want to know the answer to. Anyways, Shane was basically saying yesterday, a lot of these young guys, you know, they're one, they're either young, or two, they're old, but just haven't played enough here. So that's exactly to your point. Like, as much as, you know, you might have a player who loves to kind of lead with his voice, he has to back that up on the field first. And when things aren't going well, that's really hard to do. And so I think that definitely plays into delaying this process of finding people around Lenoris right now is, yeah, you have to be a natural born leader and you have to kind of be that voice if Lenoris isn't going to be. But at the same time, you have to back it up with some football, and there's not a ton going right now. And I think that, I mean, I really don't want to speculate, but, like, I think of someone like an Oscar Attaway, who I know is such a leader. I can't say or not, you know, if he's the type of kind of verbal leader as a Demetrius Knight was, but the run game's struggling right now. I'm sure that sort of affects the way that he's approaching the offense and leadership. And there's a lot, unfortunately, going wrong in different areas, and that definitely plays into, I think, people's comfortability and willingness to kind of use their voice because they feel like they don't have the success of statistics to back it up.
I think that is more than fair. So let's talk then about a couple of things you mentioned at the X's and the O's. One of those is the run game, which is just not going well. And I've heard some theories that it is because your offensive line is pretty middle of the pack as far as the SEC goes. I have heard some folks saying, hey, maybe Faison's just not as talented as he looked playing lesser opponents at Utah State. We've seen a couple of times where Attaway's had some bowling ball runs, but they've been unable to find any level of consistency as of late. So with all of that being said, what do you think is the issue of the run game and what is being done or might be done to get it going? Because if the run game isn't going, you can attack Lenora Sellers, which is, I think, part of the reason I want to see more design runs. But I also think there are a lot of spots where we want design runs where teams are setting the edge because there's no fear of a run game up the gut.
Yeah, no, I think it's a combination of things. And I think that, yeah, that might be an easy answer. But obviously South Carolina's offensive line, what they've shown so far, is pretty middle of the pack. It's not great. I'm not ready to write off Faison as being lesser talented than expected. And to be honest, like, I think that the whole preseason, like, there's still was only so much on tape that you could actually take into consideration. And I know that sounds crazy, and I know that I'm not trying to act like the SEC is a whole different sport, but you just still never really know. And so my expectations of him were very much, I'll find out when I see it. I can't really think too high or too low. But I just think that overall, like, everyone on offense is struggling to block and protect. I think that you look at these plays where things go wrong and it just feels like there's three or four players who just could not block a defender for the life of them, whether that's, you know, on the perimeter, on the O-line. Like, I just think that something on the fundamental aspect of the run game isn't going well right now. And I think that, I mean, it's daunting to say get back to the basics week five, but it sort of seems like the energy that I'm getting is that it's nothing too complicated that's going wrong, but just something that needs, like, really quick improvement and hasn't improved yet.
I totally agree. And so what has been the messaging about all of this? Because while I understand that, you know, it's not as simple as just saying, hey, Shane, fire Mike Shula and let's do something different. But what is being presented? I went after Dabo Swinney a little bit this week because all of his press conferences have been very much we'll fix it. Like, we got a lot of heart here. I want to know what might be done to fix it. Has there been any indication about tinkering with the offense, with the defense, about changing anything? Or is South Carolina kind of taking the same attitude of, hey, we're just going to gut check and go out there, do what we do and do it better?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. It is tricky because, again, and I'm not saying this to defend Shane, I'm just saying this from, like, a clarity perspective as somebody who is responsible for hearing what he says every day. Like, he is always going to, I wouldn't say put up a front because it's not fake, but a lot is happening behind the scenes that we're purposely not going to hear about. And I think that Shane is definitely one to make more changes than people assume. And I do think that a lot is going on behind the scenes. I think ultimately, as much as Shane and Shula and people make adjustments, like, a lot, unfortunately, like, it falls on the players and it does fall on execution. And I do think that against Missouri, there was just there wasn't execution in kind of at times where it, I imagine, was very frustrating for coaches because you kind of throw your hands up in the air and say, okay, that could have worked had one block been just a wee bit better. I do think that Shane is willing to make drastic changes or acknowledge that there's a lot fundamentally wrong. Will we see it between Missouri and Kentucky? I do think that a lot of that falls onto the players, but at the same time, I don't think that Shane is sitting here thinking that these are early kinks that are going to work out specifically with a run game. I think he is well aware that it's a really, really troubling issue.
Without a doubt. This game, Lulu Kessin, feels wildly important to me. I said this to open the show. I'll stick with it now. If South Carolina loses this game, and even with the season at 2-2, I still think that would be an upset. I still think South Carolina is a better football team. But if they were to lose this game, I don't think this team's even going bowling. I don't think they become bowl eligible. I think the back half of that schedule, you know, you look at a win against Coastal. Hell, just for the funsies, I'll even give you a win against Clemson. That's still four at that point with some very, very tough SEC teams out there. Aside from that, you've got to find two more of those to be eligible. This game feels like an emergency to me. This game feels like it is a must win, regardless of where you end up in the postseason, just to have something. How important is this game to you against Kentucky, whether it is for postseason consideration as a bowl eligible team, whether it is just to set a tone that we won't die? Like, how important is this game against Kentucky this weekend to you?
I would agree with the same level of importance. I think that if South Carolina can't figure out a way to beat Kentucky, and that isn't necessarily an insult to Kentucky. It's just playing, you know, thinking about every factor, like they're in trouble. I would not be surprised if, I will agree. I agree 1,000%. It's a must-win game, and I don't see how you make a bowl game if you can't beat Kentucky and you don't pick up at least that one win.
All right, let's talk very quickly, Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News, about this game. This Kentucky team, you know, outside of maybe Coastal Carolina, the probably the weakest team left ahead. Obviously, we know over the past couple of years there's kind of almost been a baby rivalry, if not between the schools, the players, almost to some degree between Mark and Shane Beamer. The last couple of years that has developed. I think this is not just a must win. I certainly think there's got to be a little bit of extra gas on the fire because of it. Give me your two, three keys to this game that are specific to the game against the Kentucky Wildcats.
Yeah, I think specifically to that point, like, emotions have to be in check. I know that's a general thing South Carolina is struggling with, but like, penalties can't happen. You know, South Carolina, I said it before, I predicted that they were going to struggle against Hardy last week, and they did. And now Kentucky has two running backs. Can I sit here and say that one or both combined are as good as Hardy? No, but at the same time, they're very talented, and that's going to be an issue. And so if South Carolina can't stop the run and can't tackle, it's going to be a really long night. And Lenora Sellers has to prove why he was on Heisman conversations in the beginning of the year. He did against Missouri, in my opinion, with his passing, but obviously he kind of shot himself in the foot with the negative 28 rushing yards. So he has to take a step forward, because this Kentucky quarterback can't sit here and think that he can, you know, match whatever Lenore Sellers is putting on the field, because then that's going to be a long night if you give someone like that confidence.
Fair enough. Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She is more than generous with her time every Thursday at 8 a.m. to check in on the Gamecocks. Young lady, you are the absolute best. I wish you the best of luck this weekend covering the game. I hope that next Thursday's conversation is a little more uplifting.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. Well, thank you so much for having me. As always, I appreciate it, and have a great weekend.
You are the best. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. Make sure you follow her on X at Lulu Kessin, L-U-L-U-K-E-S-I-N. If you are a Gamecock fan, she is your must follow. Let us take a break when we come back here in just a moment from right now. We have got a pair of stories out of the college football landscape that are landscape changing, or don't change the landscape at all right now, but might change the landscape later, but like also only if some people want the landscape. You'll figure out what I mean when we come back. I'm Rob, he's Lonzo. You're amazing. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you.
You know what would also fix that, and it, hopefully you won't say anything else about it, is pecs.
Okay. Hit the gym, fat ass. That's what Lonzo just said to me.
I would have no room to talk about that. That's not what I said. You know, it highlights certain things if you have certain things that or I don't know.
I had a friend of mine from down in Florida about a week ago or so who was driving through the area and was on their way up to, it doesn't matter. They were on their way somewhere north of us. And so they popped off the interstate so that we could go have lunch together while they were passing through the upstate of South Carolina. And I have not seen this person since, gosh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. When your boy Robbie B was slightly larger by about 60 pounds than where I'm sitting at right now. And this individual popped out of their car and started to walk past me. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're just going to walk right by. And he was like, dog, I did not even recognize you. Holy crap, you lost some weight. And I said, yeah, man, thanks. I appreciate it. And he goes, congrats on getting skinny fat. And I said,
wow.
Cool.
Oh,
cool.
Oh, so this is a good friend.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Like okay. Somebody who can get away with calling me was saying congrats on being skinny fat without me just like picking up a rock and throwing it at their head. But it for some reason,
so you
was just as insulting as walking up and be like, hey, you put on some weight.
So you took my comment as negative and it wasn't meant to be that.
Yeah. Hey, you know what would help with that shirt? Some pecs.
All right. I did use that voice that time.
Yeah.
Way to go, you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I'm saying is to accent certain things, you have to have certain attributes. And if you don't have them, you should look and go, okay, I'm not going to get that. So let me change it up a little.
Okay.
Like add a whistle. Because if you add a whistle, it's perfect.
Some pecs. All right. Hey,
prove me wrong. I mean, if you want to go shirts and skins right now, let's do it.
No, I don't, and I won't, and I shan't, because we don't charge $9.99 a month for this stream. It's free. Sports
Is
talk.
That how much OnlyFans costs?
I mean, it depends on the person, I believe. I don't know. I don't pay for OnlyFans, just so we're clear. Why would you? There's naked people on the internet. You don't need to pay for OnlyFans. There's naked people everywhere on the internet, all right? If that's your thing, you don't have to pay for it.
Allegedly.
And now let's do a liner, shall we? Let's tag on to that. Sports Talk on the Fan Upstate presented by Paramount Plus. You cannot count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
And you can watch that the Sylvester Stallone show, which looks pretty good.
Tulsa King, which I haven't started yet, but it's very high on the list. I feel like I need to.
And not to mention, pretty soon, Paramount Plus, UFC.
Also that. All right, let me get to this real quick, because I don't think it's a long discussion, because I don't think many people are going to care about it. But I'm also going to say, as I described it earlier, this is not a landscape shifting story. I do think whatever the long-term ramifications of it are will be a landscape shifting story in the landscape of college football. A judge on Wednesday ruled in favor of Indiana starting safety Lewis Moore. Lewis Moore filed a lawsuit back in early August that challenged the NCAA's 5-year eligibility rule. The argument that Lewis Moore made in his lawsuit was that his time at a junior college, Navarro Junior College in Texas, should not count against his NCAA eligibility to play football. A judge in Texas, a district judge, Dale Tillery, ruled that Lewis Moore's lawsuit was correct. His argument was correct. He made the argument that the NCAA's 5-year eligibility rule is a violation of the Texas Antitrust Act. Moore's attorney, Brian Lawton, said, quote, "This is a very big victory, not only for Lewis Moore, but for all similarly situated college student athletes who have illegally had their eligibility for attending junior colleges taken from them by the NCAA. I am so proud of Lewis for navigating this. Lewis leads Indiana in tackles, interceptions, pass breakups, and he's had to do that while living a lawsuit. I couldn't be more proud of him. He has earned everything that he deserves." Moore was at Navarro for 3 years, went to Indiana for two, transferred to Ole Miss for year three, is back at Indiana for year four. An injunction had to be filed. That injunction was filed effectively to allow him to play while the lawsuit went through a Texas district court. The injunction allowed him to play, as he is now playing his fourth year in power football, two at Indiana, one at Ole Miss, another one at Indiana. But via the old rules, your JUCO years would count against your eligibility, meaning he should have been done already. He has now won. The injunction was put in place, and now he has won the lawsuit. Lawton said, quote, "I commend our judge. He carefully listened to the evidence. He let everybody put on their case, and this result is a righteous result for a very deserving client. The students at Indiana, the faculty at Indiana, the fan base at Indiana, they should really be proud of Lewis. He is an asset to their school." Look, man, I am pro player. I always have been. This is why when NIL came down the pipe, I think I was the only person on the station that said, this is a good thing, let it happen. When the transfer portal came down the pipe, I don't know if I was the only person who said it was a good thing at the time, but I said it was a good thing at the time. I am 99% of the time always going to be in favor of decisions and developments that benefit college football players, almost exclusively. But this one I do have a question about. And this, maybe even more so than NIL, maybe even more so than the portal, I think this might potentially down the line be the trigger for the feds to get involved, for this to become a discussion on Capitol Hill. Because if I am the NCAA, I am going to make the argument that I understand your argument that is a violation of the Antitrust Act, because there's nowhere else to go ply your trade if you're a college football player. On the other hand, I do have to ask, if this is a violation of the Texas Antitrust Act, is not every NCAA rule then technically a violation of the Texas Antitrust Act? If the NCAA has a rule about eligibility, or it has a rule about academic requirements, or it has a that supersedes the schools, for instance, but if it has academic requirements, if it has any requirement at all made on a player, and I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm asking the question because I'm not an attorney. In fact, I'm just an idiot with a microphone. But does that kind of lead us to a path that every NCAA restriction on athletes could be challenged, ruled an antitrust violation, if only in Texas, and open a door? I think that we are on a path. This is not a new take from me. I think we are on a path that is going to at some point require the NCAA to be given some sort of antitrust protection. But if it is given some sort of antitrust exemption, it will have to then go through, again, everything we've said, employment, unionization, et cetera, to become a business that gets those protections from the government. And there is only other, to me, only one other way that this can go. The only other way that this can go to me is the folks on Capitol Hill who start to say, whether it is via antitrust exemption or some other direction, that the NCAA does have the right to create some sort of restrictions, requirements of players, of participants, that can be enforced, but maybe it has to go in front of a committee, right? Because the other thing, what you don't want to do, and the reason that you don't jump to that reality immediately, is because if you give them blanket protection, then they can just start making up whatever restrictions they want. And you don't want to do that, because then you will take lawsuits from players. There's a lot to this. But what I will say is, this lawsuit, along with Diego Pavia's lawsuit at Vanderbilt, which is pretty much the same in a different state, this lawsuit creates a world where I don't think there is any possible endgame other than some sort of federal involvement, because by this lawsuit, I think it becomes possible for athletes to begin challenging any restrictions, requirements, guidelines, whatever, that is put in place by the NCAA, saying, wait, if that one violates it, don't they all? Doesn't any restriction on us violate it? This story may, it doesn't sound like much right now because it's Indiana, who cares, right? It may down the line become a massively impactful story. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Let's do an audio blitz here. We usually do it at 8, not on Thursdays when Lulu Kesson swings by. If you missed her interview, worry not. We talked some Gamecock football this morning. We'll have it posted for you later on in the day when the show is at its conclusion. You can go to thefanupstate.com, click on the podcast button. You can drop that button down to the Rob Brown Show, click on it, and all 4 hours of the show are available on demand and at your leisure. So if you miss even a minute of the show, go grab it in real time from the website, thefanupstate.com. Go to the podcast section, click it down to the Rob Brown Show. Download any hour or every hour and listen to it whenever you want to.
Or if you're going on a long trip, we also put a full show.
The full 4 hours.
Yeah.
So edited for time, so it's not even 4 hours.
So you click on that, and it'll get you from here to
past Atlanta. To,
or Charleston or something. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Grab the podcasted version, edited for time and everything. You're welcome, America. But since Lulu Kesson came by and talked Gamecocks with us at 8 o'clock, again, that was in hour number 3. So if you missed it, go download it later. We do our audio blitz now. I've got a couple of different clips for you that we are going to run through. I want to start with Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin, of course, on the NASCAR circuit. The playoffs are underway. There has been an issue in these playoffs for a few teams. It happened to RGR a couple of days ago, where teammates who are in the playoffs have been racing against teammates who are not in the playoffs but are racing for position and purse money, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, everybody's got a different philosophy. There are some people for whom the team positioning doesn't really matter. They don't care if my teammate wins the championship. You know, am I going to give away $100,000 that would go into my pocket so that that guy can maybe move into the next round and maybe win a championship for my team that I had not much to do with? I don't know. Anyway, one of the guys who has taken a lot of crap over the years is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Ricky has had some races that did not go great for, Ricky. Well, Denny Hamlin was talking about old Ricky and had one of my favorite NASCAR podcast moments in recent memory. Now, the reason that is hilarious if you're a non-NASCAR guy is because Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who has been in a lot of very dumb accidents, has earned from the fans the nickname Ricky Spinhouse or Recky Stenhouse Jr. And Denny Hamlin, in what was either a flub because he was talking quickly, and as someone who flubs with some regularity because I talk quickly,
no,
I get it.
Come on.
Or Recky Stenhouse Jr. is what he calls him off the record, and he absolutely just called him Recky on the most listened to NASCAR podcast in the rotation right now.
Well, this was definitely intentional.
I don't think it was intentional.
Without seeing them laugh, the laughs sound fake. I mean, I just...
Oh, no, he fell out of the chair.
Okay, so they...
He had to get away from the microphone.
So they're one of those people who don't really know how to laugh, so it sounds like it's fake laugh?
I think it was a spot where he probably finds, out of frustration with Recky, the nickname hilarious, but isn't going to call him that out of a sense of professionalism in public, except for he just did it on the most downloaded NASCAR podcast in the game. Well, hilarious.
Aren't for the most part, those guys, boys, I mean, I'm talking about most racers.
Many of them are. Yeah, so. Some of them hate each other. Okay. This has been a NASCAR argument for a very long time that we should kind of roll back the restrictions that we have placed on driver interaction and let guys who hate each other hate each other. Let's get some right. There's no rivalries in NASCAR anymore.
Except for then you're trying to throw your helmet through windows and things like that.
As if that's not the reason half us watch.
Well.
Exactly. Matt Rhule is the head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Dylan Raiola.
Still? He still is?
He is. They lost by 3 in a very good game with the Michigan Wolverines this past weekend. Nebraska's quarterback is a cat by the name of Dylan Raiola. Now, if you haven't followed the saga of Dylan Raiola the last couple of years, the dude is unintentionally hilarious because the dude just lives his life in Patrick Mahomes cosplay. Every time Mahomes gets a haircut, he gets the matching haircut. He comes out and he does the same pregame dance and warm-up as Mahomes, to the point that Mahomes does that thing where he like flicks his fingers back and forth between plays, which I understand because I'm ADHD and I twitch all the time too. My wife is driven insane by it. But he does the exact one that Patrick Mahomes does. He dresses like him. He wears the same sunglasses, the same bandana. He wears the same number. This kid has lived his life in Patrick Mahomes cosplay for the past 3 years running. Matt Rhule came to his defense. Okay. Now I want to go and fall on both sides of what Matt Rhule had to say. On one hand, I actually agree with Matt Rhule. Dylan Raiola's playing pretty good football this year. Dylan Raiola's got one of the highest completion percentages in college football right now. It ain't exactly like Nebraska's played nobody. They've played a tougher road so far than the Oregon Ducks have. He's playing good football. On the other hand, Matty Baby, let's not pretend like the obsession with Patrick Mahomes is borderline stalkerish. Okay? Like, it was cute for a minute, but it's to the point of almost creepy now. So, like, no, we're not going to not talk about it because it's a little weird.
Admittedly, I think it's a little weird too, but if you're going to emulate, if you're going to copy, if you're going to try to be like to the point where you are them, don't you want to emulate one of the best quarterbacks of all time? That's who you want to be like. And if, let's say, that gives him the confidence to play at a higher level, then what's wrong with that? And the fact that he's been to Chiefs games, and Mahomes and those guys, they don't seem to care. And if the guy that's – it's akin to doing an impression. I mean, he's been with Mahomes, dressed like Mahomes, and he doesn't seem to have a problem with it.
Fine. That's all good. It's weird. It's fine if the guy he's emulating is like, okay, that's pretty cool. I consider it respect. It's fine if he's doing it because he feels like it inspires him. I will tell you
the
truth.
So you should never dress up with someone that as someone you know.
It's weird. If I came in here dressed as you every day, Lonzo, that was a Halloween costume. I feel like there's a small difference between Halloween and September 1st.
I just want you to be consistent. That's all.
So with that being said, like, it's fine if he utilizes it, because I'll tell you the truth. One of a coping mechanism for me, I say this all the time and people think that I'm joking. I'm telling you the truth. I don't have the highest level of self-confidence in the world. It took a very long time to get me to where I could come in here, do a show, and not think about it for hours and hours and hours on end afterwards. One of these coping mechanisms, one of these strategies I have had to develop in order to overcome what has been a, I know it sounds like a joke, I swear to you it's not, lack of self-confidence in a good chunk of my life, is I have to become someone else. Like, I make myself into a character. I act. And then
I thought you were going to say it's just hatred of me, and hatred of me has made you feel.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. That is part of it. I hate me most of the time.
Oh, no, I meant you hate me.
Oh, no. I promise you, I hate me more than I've ever been upset with you.
Okay,
I swear.
All right. No, day's not over yet.
I understand wanting to adopt a counter character because it makes you do something better or be. I'm cool with that. But, dude, like. It's all the time. Like, it's just all the time. It's just all the time. It's just weird. So, yes, Matt, I will talk about how good of a football player Dylan Raiola is. But no, Matt, I'm not going to talk about how weird it is. It just is. All right, let me give you one more. Clay Matthews just came up with an idea that, frankly, I think is brilliant. We're having more refereeing conversations because, of course, we are. MLB just signed off on ABS under the challenge system next year. I will get to that. But Clay, as we've complained about referees in the NFL for years, came up with an idea. I like this. I love this idea. I really do. Instead of having...
Sounds like someone looking for another job, but... You know.
I don't think Clay Matthews is hurting for cash.
Probably not, but people do burn through. I mean, have you seen the Delonte West stuff?
I'm not saying people don't. What I'm saying, and in fact, he took the idea one step further, and he said, maybe this is for guys who played like 3, 4, 5 years, not long-term vets, not guys who were like one and done, but like guys who played a handful of years, were pretty good, because who's going to understand the speed of the game? Who's going to understand the game better than guys who actually played it? Instead of having a guy out there who's an attorney 350 days a year and a referee for 15, right? Like, this is, I think this is a great idea. I would be, in fact, I would go so far as to say, I would be a hell of a lot less inclined to bang the drum on calls I don't agree with on any given particular play if it was made by somebody who has played that play and understands and gets it and goes, you know what, like, yeah, letter of the law, that's a hole, but in this case, it was this. Or I understand that that is roughing the passer, and there are spots you still have to throw the flag, but, like, in this case, there's not much else he could have done to avoid that hit other than let the quarterback run away. I think Clay Matthews just came up with a brilliant idea. Let's let guys who played 3 or 4 years, who maybe didn't make a gazillion dollars, but understand the speed of NFL football, officiate NFL football. I think it's brilliant. Coming up in the next hour, we will talk about ABS and MLB and your MLB playoff bracket as it's set, because, y'all, I'm a bandwagon Seattle Mariners fan for the rest of the ride, and I'll tell you why coming up in the next hour of the show. We'll talk some NFL. Jackson Dart getting the start for the New York Giants. Hopefully he doesn't sports flash.
I hope he doesn't sports flash either. You know what we'll also be talking about?
I was going to say fart.
That would be Fight Club, which you already forgot about from last hour.
I've never forgotten.
Yeah, well, you don't. He doesn't plug the segment anymore. It hurts. The Atlanta Braves win streak ends at 10 with a 4-3 loss to the Nationals yesterday. Atlanta had 6 hits, including home runs from Marcell Ozuna, Eli White, and Drake Baldwin, but went 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position. The Philadelphia Phillies locked up a first-round bye with an 11-1 win over the Marlins last night. The 93rd win of the season ensures the Phillies open at home in the divisional series, which starts October 4th. Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald highlight the NFL's Hall of Fame class of 2026 nominees. 11 other players, including Phillip Rivers, Alex Smith, Greg Olson, Jason Witten, Frank Gore, and LeSean McCoy, were announced in their first year of eligibility. Stay tuned next hour when we do the Fight Club. Whether he forgets it or not.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.